So hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, so in this video I'm commenting about the 2024 presidential election in Russia. So that's coming up this forthcoming March, because the Federal Council, which is the upper house of the Russian parliament, they confirmed just a few days ago that it's going to go ahead on 17th of March, inauspiciously that's St. Patrick's Day. You know, I don't want to spoil my national day, but it'll be held over 3 days. Now, this is a measure they introduced during coronavirus times to supposedly reduce the dissemination of the virus. But civic activist groups say it's really to make it easier to cheat on behalf of the state. I mean, years ago, when I hear this secondhand, admittedly, hear about often schools used as polling stations, particularly on the weekends. A teacher there who was responsible for stuff in the ballot box. I was in Russia the last presidential election. And ironically enough, the radio advert that came out, Putin, his own voice saying, Russia's armed forces are now the strongest in the world. Well, ha, ha, ha. As in they couldn't even defeat Ukraine after almost 2 years. I mean, obviously, because the objective was to take the whole of Ukraine, very least to so-called denazify it, as in impose his puppet in Kiev, and to demilitarize it. And the Ukrainian military is stronger than ever, holding its own against Russia, despite being heavily outnumbered. So, you know, had Putin won that war in Ukraine, easily in 2022, he might have come up with a retirement job as in leader of the Union State of Belarus in Russia, if able to effectuate that. But, you know, he saw how being leader of the nation didn't work for his old chum Nazarbayev in Kazakhstan, who's now been stripped of all his offices. So it was a foregone conclusion that Putin was going to seek election, because the war was ongoing. And it almost slipped out. It was surprising. It was this award ceremony for veterans of the Russo-Ukrainian war. And then the governor of one of these annexed regions of East Ukraine, illegally occupied by Russia, he's the one who beseeched Putin to seek re-election. And indeed, Vladimirovich was graciously pleased to accede to the will of the people, supposedly, and allow his name to go forward to be head of state for a further 6 years. Remember, he has amended the constitution twice, because initially said that someone could only serve as president twice. Then that was changed to be two consecutive times. And now this has been zeroed. It's going to count as though he's done 0 terms, allowing him a further 2 terms of 6 years apiece. Remember, the presidential term was originally 8 years. So re-elected next year could go on to 2030, and a further 6 years would take him up to 2036. He's now 71, you know, so he could be there to the age of 83. Bear in mind his birthday's in October. All right, so that is going ahead. Does he fulfill the criteria? Yes, he's over 35. Yes, he's been resident in Russia for a minimum of 25 years. Moreover, he's not a citizen or permanent resident of any other country, nor has he ever been one. So that's it. Now they're going to fix the election, because proper opposition candidates are banned for being so-called extremist. And when they couldn't find some technical triviality, something de minimis as a reason to disqualify them, then I remember previously opposition candidates, when they're trying to hold their party congress, which they had to do by law in order to stand for the presidency, the electricity would mysteriously go off at exactly the most inopportune moment during the Congress. And presumably the FSB, the intelligence service, which views itself as not as serving Russia, but serving Putin personally, it's just hired thugs with cult of the personality, they were doing it. And then you had to get, so many thousands of signatures on your nomination papers from so many of the 85 federal subjects, as in regions, autonomous republics, and so forth. And that many of these would be invalidated, perhaps on spurious grounds. So he's got the media entirely on his side, the broadcast media, the print media, and so forth. And any independent media, they've been labeled extremists, foreign agents, they can publish little or nothing, and so on. So he's got the entire force of the state on his side, the army, the navy, the air force, the intelligence services, the police, the Russian guard, schools, universities, the civil service, they're all incessantly propagandizing for Putin. So bear in mind that 90% of the mind is subconscious. If you hear Putin is great all day, every day, it is very, very difficult to resist that. Everybody else believes it. And Putin, I just saw that 58% of people said they would vote for him in an opinion poll recently. And in a way, it's surprising it's that low, bearing in mind he's got this 360-degree propaganda. So it's just inescapable, his propaganda. So who is going to stand against him? They're not exactly household names. Ivan Prakowski, who's part of this group. He led Defenders of the Fatherland movement and so on. He was in the Russian Marines. He's an anti-vaxxer. So Putin is allowing people to stand against him who make him seem sane and reasonable by comparison. And there's another anti-vaxxer, really complete nobody, Ustin Chashishkin, I hope I can pronounce his name, Chashikinin. And then Yegor Girkin, was the defense minister of the puppet state of Donetsk People's Republic, which is Russia now claims to have integrated into its sovereign territory, Boris Nadezhdin, and so on, who was a local councillor in one of the Moscow boroughs and so forth, and then a small-time journalist. So there is a woman who's about 40, a journalist. This, I think she's a single mother, is a peace campaigner, and she wants to stand very valiantly. And she's very careful not to commit any infraction of the criminal code by mentioning the war, the word war slipped out there. Parapraxis, that Putin himself said war has to be special military operation. She would like to see the special military operation come to an end and make peace with Ukraine. Uh-oh, well, she's been visited by the FSB, and you really do not want to invite their attention. They haven't arrested her, even though she'd be very careful in the way she phrased things. She's been given some unpleasant experiences, so she would stand. But we know they'll stuff the ballot boxes because they had live CCTV in all the polling stations, and the polling officials would look so nobody was coming, and then they'd pile in extra ballots. Now, it looks like Putin won more votes than any other candidate in the first round, but not by so much as to be over 50%. Because remember, it's a two-round election. If you win over 50% in the first round, that's it, you won. There is no second round. But if nobody secures over 50% the first round, then the lower candidates eliminated, the final two go to a second round. And that hasn't happened in Russia since 1996, since Boris Yeltsin stood against Gennady Zyuganov. So that perpetual Communist Party candidate, he's probably going to stand again. I mean, because there are actually several parties with the word communist in them, but Zyuganov's faction is by far the best known. There's Pavel Grudinin, who runs another one, famously runs a strawberry farm just outside Moscow. Is he going to stand again? But he's really a capitalist, despite the name. So that's it. We know that this is simply a charade, and there'll be no independent monitoring. There's really no independent media. There won't be actually electoral debates. But the one thing is, Putin, having a large draft of soldiers, he'd rather delay that till after the 17th of March. He doesn't want to cheat by too much. He really doesn't, because that looks bad. And you can't fool with that many people that much. He remembers what happens to his now friend, Alexander Lukashenko, in August 2020, with massive scale cheating, when it looks like Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya got up to 80% of the vote. And there was such large disorder that seriously threatened the Lukashenko crime family, and had to draft in extra police officers from Russia's, had to detain thousands of democracy activists, and thousands of more have fled abroad. So Putin doesn't want to be faced with that situation, which is why large-scale mobilization of men for the armed forces will be delayed till after the election finishes on the 19th of March, when it can't clear the pitch at all, because he would like some genuine support. So vote banks for him are the elderly. People are nostalgic for totalitarianism. Well, they've almost got it back. People in poverty-stricken regions, ironically, even though they're doing very badly out of his, avaricious, regressive capitalism, his unfree market, his cronyism, because they are highly reliant on state handouts. They tend to be less educated. Russia's got one of the highest rates of television viewership in the world. People are getting their information from television, which is all state-run. And some public sector workers, some of the armed forces, and so on. Where the party is less strong is in Moscow, St. Petersburg, amongst young people, liberal-minded people, and so forth. Some of the ethnic minority regions, there's genuine pluralism. Right, anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe and to Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.